Words on Water.
Hi, welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. I'm Travis Loop, the host, and this episode is about Imagine a Day Without Water. It was held on October 12th. It's a national day of awareness and education about the importance of water to our lives and communities and economy, and about the importance of water infrastructure to providing that clean and reliable water that we all need. So Imagine a Day Without Water is organized by the Value of Water campaign. You can learn about it by going to imagineadaywithoutwater.org. And as I was working on this podcast, I was just looking at some statistics, and it jumped out at me that the average American uses 176 gallons of water each day. So I tried to imagine getting those, you know, 1 gallon containers of water and lining up 176 of those in the room next to me, and thinking about that's the amount of water that I'm responsible for every day. And there's an interesting breakdown of the kind of the averages of the amount of water that's used in a household, where it goes. So I wanted to share that as well. 17% of a home's water consumption goes towards showering. 27% is used by the toilet, 15% by faucets that drain. Your clothes washer uses 22%, and 5% kind of goes to miscellaneous needs. And then 14% of a home's water consumption actually is lost in leaks. So that's something to pay attention to. So today's podcast is going to be a little bit different. For Imagine a Day Without Water, I went around my community and met with different people from around the community that have a connection to water, and talked to them about Imagine a Day Without Water. So let's go ahead and start with that now. And I began in my house talking about what it meant to wake up without water. For me this morning, it's really hard to think of not having water and all the water infrastructure in my house. So the problems go on and on. I took a shower this morning, and that would have been pretty tough without water. I have 2 young boys that I had to get off to school, and they've got to brush their teeth. They've got to use the bathroom. I've got to fill up their water bottles. So all that stuff would be pretty much impossible without water. I do have some coffee here, and I'm probably, you all are probably a lot like me and depend on this and enjoy it every morning. And clearly coffee would be a serious problem without water. So those are just a couple of the ways that it'd be tough to even start our daily lives without having water. I'm going to hit the road and head off to my first stop. As I was thinking about my stops for Imagine a Day Without Water, I knew that I had to go to a local water utility, and I was really looking forward to that. I work at the Water Environment Federation, and we represent 34,000 water professionals. Plant operators, utility managers, scientists, engineers, regulators, students. So I was really excited to go meet with some of these folks and talk to them about Imagine a Day Without Water. Utilities, it's so much more than just water. They're vital public health services for our communities. They make our communities go. They're really economic engines because of the water that they provide and that they treat. This is also a good time. I wanted to mention the need to fund water infrastructure. Across the country, infrastructure is aging. We have population growth. We have more development. We have the impacts of climate change. So there's a lot of stress and strain on our country's water infrastructure. There's a great report that was put out by the Value of Water campaign last spring, and it looked at how we are only, as a country, only funding about one-third of the $123 billion that's needed per year to keep our water infrastructure up to date. So that's a huge gap. That's roughly $80 billion a year of a shortfall we have. The report also looked at what would happen if we closed that investment gap. What if our country made the necessary investments in water infrastructure? And this is, this illustrates why we always talk about water being such an economic engine, because that investment in infrastructure would result in more than $220 billion in total economic activity to the country. You know, when you talk about water infrastructure, someone has to design it, someone has to manufacture it, someone has to install it, someone has to maintain it. And it's just incredible ripple effects. And so these investments, the report found, would generate and sustain approximately 1.3 million jobs over that 10-year period of work. So that's huge. So my Imagine a Day Without Water tour, I headed off to the Brunswick Regional Water and Sewer to talk to them about Imagine a Day Without Water. I'm at the Brunswick Regional Water and Sewer here, and could you introduce yourself?
Hey, Travis. This is Bob Walker with Brunswick Regional Water and Sewer, or more commonly known as H2GO. I'm the executive director here.
And so when you hear about this Imagine a Day Without Water, what kind of thoughts come to your mind, or what were you thinking as you heard I was coming to talk to you today?
If we just all of a sudden didn't have any water, there would be some mass chaos to begin with. I mean, we would be scrambling to probably try to isolate as much of the system as possible, try to preserve as much water in the elevated tank as we possibly could, because you don't know if it's going to last for an hour, a day, or a month.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be our first reaction, is to try to isolate the system. Second thing we would be pushing out with Tyler, our PIO officer, and our customer service, trying to push out notifications to the customers to let them know that we'd be under a mass boil water advisory until further notice. So customer communication would be the next key thing to do.
Yeah. And so you were telling me that about a year ago you had a situation that kind of put you guys in a without water scenario almost, and talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, we were within hours of losing all water to this area, not for just a day, but it could have been an extended period of time.
Wow.
There's all the raw water comes from the Cape Fear River through a 48-inch transmission line from the Lock and Dam about 14 miles north of here.
Mm-hmm.
And just after Hurricane Matthew, that pipe ruptured.
Mm.
And so they were unable to deliver the raw water to the treatment plants.
Mm.
And so we were put on severe water restrictions for about 6 weeks. We were under a state of emergency for a month. And
wow.
It's just amazing how many people, took for granted the water for the everyday needs when all of a sudden they're put on restrictions, and now they can't irrigate, they can't wash their cars. We asked them not to use any outdoor water use, and it took a while for the people to come to terms with that.
Yeah.
Especially people who like to have green grass, and builders who just put sod down getting ready to close on a house.
Mm-hmm.
We got some complaints from them, but for the most part everybody complied.
Yeah, well it shows in a situation like that kind of the how water has such a wide impact. It's not just coming out of your tap to drink, or not just flushing that toilet to go take it and get it treated, but construction industry needs water and they're impacted by it, or the golf courses, that's recreation, but that's also business. And so the ripple effect is huge.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any, you know, medical facilities that get, you know, use your guys' water or whatever, doctor's offices or urgent care. I saw down the street.
Urgent care. We have a dialysis center here. So they were concerned about, losing water completely.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the schools, all the schools, the daycares, and they were very concerned about losing water.
Yeah. So it's, we always talk about how water is important for our health, for our communities, and our economy. You guys kind of, you live that every day. The one thing we talk about too with Imagine Day Without Water, it's not just imagine if you didn't have water, but trying to educate people about the infrastructure and how critical it is and how people need to support it and understand why they pay the rates that they do, and that we need more investment from local, state, federal level in our infrastructure. So
yeah, that's right, because if you're not going to maintain the system, 20 years down the road, your system's going to be aged.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to need to be upgraded and maintained. And if you're not setting aside those reserves to put back into the infrastructure and reinvest, then your rates are not going to be affordable.
Mm-hmm.
But I think H2GO has done a good job of putting those reserves aside and reinvesting our customers' monies back into the system.
Yeah. Going back to the incident with the pipeline there, did that happen because of the hurricane and from some side effect of that, or that was just the timing?
I think there's some people who thought that the hurricane had effect on it, but the pipe is buried 10 feet deep.
Okay.
It's just the type of pipe. It was a pre-stressed concrete pipe, mm-hmm. and sometimes those do rupture.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it had anything to do with the hurricane.
Yeah.
It was just bad timing.
Yeah, gotcha. But overall, you guys, utilities, because of how important it is to deliver water to people and treat that water, being sustainable and resilient to emergencies this is a hurricane prone area. I guess that's something you guys really have as a priority, is making sure you can kind of, no pun intended, weather those storms and situations.
Yeah, and that's one reason why we set out 6 years ago to put in this reverse osmosis water treatment plant, to make the system or the region more resilient, because
mm-hmm.
we won't be reliant on just the Cape Fear River. We'll have an alternate water source.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have interconnections with our mm-hmm. neighbors, so that, if they need water, we might be able to supply them with additional supplies or excess supplies, and vice versa. So that makes the whole region more resilient when you have, more than one water source.
Yeah. So for Imagine a Day Without Water, I wanted to fit a visit to an environmental organization into the schedule. I wanted to talk to them about their views on how water infrastructure impacts local waterways. And, I'm very aware of how wastewater treatment plants take very dirty water, they treat that water till it's very clean, and then discharge that into local waterways. So the health of rivers and lakes and bays and coastal waters depends so much on local water infrastructure. So I wanted to talk to an environmental organization about that a little bit. I did live and work in the Chesapeake Bay area, including on Chesapeake Bay restoration efforts. One of the great success stories there has been the reduction in nitrogen and phosphorus coming from the wastewater sector. Over the years, there's really been a great progress made on that front, and lowered that nutrient pollution that's in tributaries and in the bay itself. So in coastal North Carolina, I wanted to kind of look and talk to an environmental group about these types of issues. I also wanted to, as I was studying who to talk to, I just realized that North Carolina's ocean economy actually contributed over $2 billion to the state's GDP a few years ago, and provided over 40,000 jobs. And that's in things like seafood and energy and marine biotech and transportation and tourism, recreation, coastal protection, all those types of areas. So, when environmental groups talk about protecting a certain water body or waterways, It's not just from protect the fish kind of standpoint, but you know, they're very aware of and concerned about how that water body is a resource in so many ways, including economics. And I think you see when I talk to this environmental organization, the North Carolina Coastal Federation, that they are very aware of the economics of tourism and recreation and commercial fishing, and also just the quality of life impacts of having clean water and how water infrastructure is so vital to that, especially from wastewater, but also stormwater management. So I'm here today with Jessica Gray from the North Carolina Coastal Federation. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm good. So could you just kind of just quickly tell us what the North Carolina Coastal Federation is?
So yeah, we're an environmental conservation organization that works to protect and restore water quality and coastal habitats along the North Carolina coast.
Okay. That's a great mission. And one of the things with Imagine a Day Without Water is it's easy for regular people to think about, if I didn't have water coming out of my tap or out of my shower, you know, I couldn't have my coffee, I couldn't brush my teeth. We also want to talk about like why water infrastructure is important. I know one thing you work on is stormwater infrastructure. That's kind of the stuff that captures the rainfall that falls and runs off our roads and rooftops and parking lots. So could you imagine if we didn't have any of that stormwater infrastructure?
Wouldn't be pretty. we work to try and promote with new development those low impact development techniques to reduce the volume of stormwater that's making its way into the storm drains and going untreated out into your local waters. But then we also do retrofit projects where we go back to existing infrastructure and try and disconnect those pathways that they traditionally take and redirect them to areas where it's able to infiltrate and clean it out.
And you work with like local governments on those projects?
Yes, they're all very collaborative. So we work with the Town of Wrightsville Beach here, we work with the City of Wilmington and the Soil and Water Conservation Districts and DOT.
Yeah.
A lot of people are involved when you start doing this thing.
And so could you talk a little bit about what the water would be like if there wasn't the stormwater infrastructure? Like, just you said it wouldn't be pretty, definitely. could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Some of these retrofit projects were aiming to restore the waters to the hydrological levels that they had pre, you know, this boom in development.
You're right.
So we also worked to restore oysters in the area. And, you know, you've got, if you're restoring the oysters, you still have to have the clean water because it doesn't do anything if you just keep dumping polluted water in
there.
And then even in our estuaries where this polluted stormwater is going is where many of your primary nursery areas are. So the seafood that you go offshore and catch, it spends some of its lifetime in the estuary. Mm.
So I think that's what you said is really great. It illustrates it's always amazing all the impacts that water has or that water infrastructure has. So it's not just keeping the water clean so people can swim along here or surf along here, but so that nature, the wildlife, the fish and wildlife can be healthy, but then also so it can be healthy for people to catch and eat and the economic kind of engine behind that.
And we're a big tourism area. We have all the paddleboarders and swimmers last weekend, they did swim the loop. And, you know, if this water was really impaired, people would be getting sick if they're swimming in there. So.
Yeah. So that you have that tourism, that whole economic engine, and just quality of life, right? Just people being able to enjoy the water. So as I tried to imagine a day without water, one of the things that personally upset me about that vision was the idea of not being able to go surfing. It's a hobby of mine, something I really enjoy. So as part of my tour, I decided to stop by a local surf shop and talk to them about how surfing depends on clean water, both from just a strict recreation standpoint, but also the industry, the local shops and the broader surfing industry. One study that I find very interesting was done by the Surfrider Foundation, and it talks about how surfers are much more likely to get sick from pollution in the water. That's for a variety of reasons, because surfers are in the water more frequently. When they get in the water, it's for longer periods of time, a couple hours. They're often in the water year-round. And when surfers are in the water, they're really immersed. They're really in that water, under waves and ingesting water. So they're very, very vulnerable. And, you know, again, I'm aware of how that water infrastructure is so important to keeping coastal waters cleaner. Southern California is a great example of this. You know, they get rain less frequently, then they get a heavy, hard rain. There's a lot of runoff from the streets and the parking lots and the rooftops, and then you've got pollution in the water and warnings about not surfing for 48 hours, whatever it might be. So, you know, that's a real tangible issue. So, again, I'm going to take a stop here at a surf shop and see what they have to say. Now I have stopped by one of the local surf shops here. We're at Sweetwater Surf Shop. I'm with Justin. How's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
Awesome. I was telling you about Imagine a Day Without Water, and it's a day to kind of raise awareness about the importance of water and water infrastructure and keeping our water clean and all that good stuff. Why does clean water matter to surfers?
Being a surfer and around an environment like an island here, we really rely on the water infrastructure to have our day-to-day activities to survive. First of all, being hydrated is very important to a surfer. And you know, it brings people to the area here, having water infrastructure.
Yeah. And so, you know, water infrastructure, obviously, you know, the ocean, water comes from a lot of places, mm-hmm. but it does flow from, you know, the rivers near here and flows off the land when it rains. So without that water infrastructure in place, you have a lot more pollution.
Of course.
And I know that, I know there's some studies out there. I think Surfrider actually put out something a couple of years ago about how surfers are more prone to get sick from pollution in the water because they spend so much more time in mm-hmm. the water mm-hmm. and, you know, underwater and all that.
Of course.
Stuff.
And the water sometimes gets dirty after rainfall, after a big rain, because there's not rain off in there. Dirt builds up, disgusting stuff builds up, and it runs off into the water.
I know, it's such a bummer that out there, if they get, doesn't rain, then they get a hard rain, it's like, stay out for 48 hours, and if there's good waves, you're like, no, they can't do that.
They'll have public advisories, and people will just ignore them.
right, take a chance. Yeah. So then, one of the other things is, you know, you guys are a big part of the local economy, right? Mm-hmm. Like the surfing industry, and not just Sweetwater, but the other shops mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. So, can you talk a little bit about that? And
As I said earlier, you know, having a good water infrastructure drives tourism to this area. Mm. Being, you know, front and center, obviously, there's, like you said, there's other surf shops in the area. We get a lot of the business of the tourism that comes here. If we get, you know, a reputation for having bad water infrastructure or the characteristics that follow because of that, you know, we as a business are not going to survive. Yeah. Not going to not survive, but we're going to have a bad view in the tourist environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, there's also different contests and stuff that are held in this area, right? And knowing that the water quality is pretty good mm-hmm. lets them keep coming back.
Of course.
Yeah. One of my stops during Imagine a Day Without Water was at a school. It was the school that my children go to. And I wanted to talk to the principal about Imagine a Day Without Water. Unfortunately, I had some problems with the audio coming out of that, so I'm just going to have to tell you about how that conversation went. And, you know, the gist of it is that schools wouldn't get too far without water and water infrastructure, as you might imagine. Principal talked about how the kids drink a ton of water. You know, they all come to school with water bottles filled up, and they all refill those bottles throughout the day. So that's a pretty vital need right there. He also talked about toilets and how they've got kids lined up to go to the bathroom, and, you know, not just during those bathroom breaks, but going in there throughout the day. So clearly, if they didn't have that water infrastructure, that'd be a big problem. The principal also talked about cleaning the school, which I didn't think of. You know, the toilets and the drinking water were clearly at the top of my mind, but, you know, he talked about how every night around 6 o'clock, they've got cleaning crews that come into the school and work into the night, getting the place all cleaned up and disinfected and ready for hundreds and hundreds of kids to tear it apart the next day. And if they didn't have water accessible, then cleaning would be a big issue. And then another one that he mentioned that skipped my mind was the idea if there was any type of fire or emergency like that, and the ability to have firefighters deal with that or have sprinklers come on would be water is obviously vital for that as well. So pretty clear that without water infrastructure, that a school could not operate. So one of my favorite stops during Imagine a Day Without Water was at a local brewery. You know, there are over 5,200 craft breweries in the U.S. right now. You probably have a ton of them sprung up in your community. They're responsible for over $24 billion in sales a year and almost 130,000 people employed. So, and I think you can understand why water is vital to beer and to that incredible economic engine of the brewing industry, and especially how the craft brewing industry has exploded. I think beer is roughly 90% water, and I know that brewers are super picky about water chemistry and cleanliness, and they have a very strong voice in their community. They are respected. Now I am at Waterman's Brewing Company, and I'm here with Zach, the brewmaster.
Yes, sir. Cheers.
We have his wonderful product here. Good stuff. So I was kind of telling you about Imagine a Day Without Water. This is like actually a national day of kind of education about the important role water plays in our lives, in our health, in our communities, our economy, all that good stuff.
Absolutely.
And so you're a beer brewer.
That's correct.
You've got this fine establishment here. When you hear, hey, Zach, imagine a day without water, how do you react to that?
It makes me cringe, absolutely. Water is the vehicle that provides my product to all my people.
Yeah.
I mean, water goes way beyond beer. However, I do think beer is quite important in
absolutely.
The world. Water is absolutely the thing that I think about the most every day. So my job would not exist in a day without water.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time perfecting our water here, and regionally speaking, you always have to do that for brewing.
Okay.
Water chemistry has a humongous impact on the flavor of the beer, which is really talking about how the yeast operates.
Okay.
So it's pretty important.
Yeah. Do you actually do something more with the water other than add all the good ingredients?
What you generally have to do when you open up a brewery anywhere is you get your municipal water report or water report from whatever source that you're getting your water from.
Okay.
I brewed well water before. I brewed municipal water different places. And you figure out what's in there, you figure out what you may need to take out, and then you add back things that are good for yeast as well. It's called water adjustment, salt additions, this sort of thing. It's not just table salt, it's many different minerals. And we filter our water through a two-stage carbon filter and have some pretty large membrane filters that also take out chlorine and chloramine. And everywhere that has drinking water, you know, sourced from the environment, you have to go ahead and treat it for it to be potable for folks. But yeast is not folks. Yeast is a different organism. So we have to make sure that we alter it that way. And we have very good water here in Wilmington overall. There have been issues with certain things, but I actually think our filtration is about as good as it can be. And I am constantly manipulating it to try to go ahead and make sure that that source is plentiful for us, because I use a lot of water.
So what is how much water does it take for you guys? I mean, do you have any idea of what your water consumption is, or per?
It used to be, I worked at a very eco-friendly brewery years ago, and it used to be that a 3 gallons of water to 1 gallon of beer ratio was in your eco-friendly zone. I don't know if that's changed yet or not. I'd say we're pretty close to that. I try to be as efficient as possible. Smaller the system, the harder to be as absolutely efficient. We just have less space for different machinery and facility. However, we do a pretty good job of recapturing water that can be used. I filter all the water that goes in the brew house so that it's all potentially able to be recaptured.
Why do you bother with that?
Well, I mean, if I can reuse water somehow, if it's for cooling, whether it be during the cool down process at the end of a brew day and whatnot, that means I'm using the same volume of water twice, so I'm being more efficient with it. And in my opinion, being a brewer, you have to respect the environment as much as possible, because you're using products from the earth, your agricultural elements of barley and grain. Yeast is a living thing, and water makes the world go around. We all know that. Not having water is a huge problem in a lot of parts of this world. So I'm privileged to have access to an open tap all the time with water. So I try to be as respectful as possible with it.
Do you have any idea what this glass of beer here, generally, what percent of this will be water? I mean, roughly?
Well, I mean, beer is infused water.
Infused water,
That's kind of one simple way to put it. Every single step of the process of making beer is infusing your water with something. At first it's your grain, and then you use the hops for a different flavor infusion. And you take that essentially liquid food for the yeast, feed it to the yeast, and out comes your beer. So beer is not 100% water because you're adding other elements, but it's probably about 98% in terms of the relative volumes.
Cool. So a lot of our listeners and viewers are water infrastructure folks, you know, like utility managers, water plant operators, researchers, regulators, the companies that make all the equipment for infrastructure. So just kind of, you know, what's your perspective on the infrastructure end of things and all that?
I am very thankful that these people exist and this structure exists as well. I mean, being able to provide water for people in general, since it's a necessary thing for life, is super important. For me, though, I would not have a profession if these folks didn't exist, because for me to be able to take water that's not treated for drinkability, it would be an immense expense on our business, and we would not be able to do it. And I would say that every brewery would say the same thing, depending on how fresh the water source is that you have. So having folks, and I've met some of the people that work for Cape Fear Public Utility that do water testing and whatnot, and they do field tests here and make sure that your discharge is right. And what they do is I'm directly reliant on. So I respect that heavily.
The one thing you said is the last thing I want to get to, and that's kind of, you know, the beautiful beer aside, it is a business too, right? And so this is like, you know, part of the local economy, you know, not just Waterman's Brewing, but all the other breweries and all that stuff. So water is important for that too, right? Just kind of keeping that economy going.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, luckily the craft beer industry has become strong enough, especially at our size. We're relatively small in the grand scheme of things. Strong enough that it's a major player in the U.S. now and growing more and more. And water is the driving force of that, I would say, because without water, there is no beer. And it's, like I said before, the thing that we all focus on the most. So water is not just something that's good for you know, biological life, but society and civilization is based on water too.
Totally. And so Zach, thanks a lot for the time. I know you're busy, but just want to cheers you again.
Thanks.
Great beer, and you know, thanks for talking about water with us.
Thank you, sir. Anytime.
Toward the end of Imagine a Day Without Water, got back to my house and realized that it could be interesting to try to talk to my kids and about Imagine a Day Without Water and see what they say. So I've got two boys, 9 years old and 6 years old, and I was rather surprised my nine-year-old didn't want to get on camera or get on the microphone and talk a little bit. So I had my six-year-old Jack on, and he was pretty chatty up until when I turned on the camera and the microphones. But I still think he had a couple of concise, appropriate answers. So we'll take a listen to that real quick. And now I'm here with my son, Jack. Hi, Jack.
Hi.
How old are you?
Six.
6 years old. What grade? Tell them what grade you're in.
First grade.
First grade. Okay. So today is this day about water, and we're trying to think, what would it be like if we didn't have water?
It would be pretty funny.
Funny? Tell me something that... Tell me some things that you need water for.
Drinking.
Drinking. What else do you use water for? What do you have to do in the morning?
Water plants.
Water the plants?
Water the plants, yeah.
Yeah? What else do you need water?
Fill up the water bottle. Fill it with water bottles.
Yeah. So fill up your water bottle for school?
Yeah.
Yeah. What else do you need water for?
To make beer.
What? That's for me, not you.
Mm-hmm.
What about the bathroom?
Using your hands.
Washing your hands. Yeah. Yeah. What else? What are a couple other things you have to do in the bathroom with water?
Flush the toilet.
Flush the toilet. That's important. What's the one other big thing you have to do in the bathroom that like mommy always makes you do at night?
Take a shower.
Take a shower. Get all clean, right?
Yeah.
And.
Yeah, very much. Yeah.
What kinds of things do you like to do outside that need water?
Jump the pool.
A pool, yep. Swimming
in the pool, yeah.
You need water for the pool.
Yeah.
What else? What if there's pollution? We couldn't go do
swimming.
Swimming? Where?
Whatever it is, a lake or something.
Yeah, a lake or what else?
A pond. Beach.
Beach, yep.
It could get.
Yeah, so they need to, those places, it's good that they clean the water for us, right?
Yeah.
So, could you even imagine a day without water?
Yeah, it would be kind of scary.
Scary.
Yeah.
I think that's the right word for it. Fist bump for water?
Yeah.
All right, there we go. Thanks, Jack. Okay, so that concludes my Imagine a Day Without Water tour around the community. You know, it's not really enjoyable to spend a day imagining no water and no water infrastructure, but it's really enjoyable to meet people in the community that depend on water every day. It really just reinforced my notion of how important water is, how important the water infrastructure is. I was really glad to see so much participation in Imagine a Day Without Water across the country and beyond. I think they had more than 700 organizations participate this year. That included us at the Water Environment Federation. You can go and learn more at imagineadaywithoutwater.org, and hopefully you'll look to participate in 2018. Thanks, everybody.
Words.